Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Jesus came to earth to represent his Father and to be our rescuer from the wrath of God. If we have put our faith in Christ, then he will ultimately take us into the kingdom of heaven to live with him forever. Have you put your faith in Jesus? Please open your Bible to Revelation chapter 3 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his study of verses 14 through 22.
Here is this church that is flat, that maybe isn't even walking in a relationship with him, and Jesus is speaking to them. How wonderful. How glorious. Now, here's what we need to see. Here's what we really need to see. A lot of contemporary teaching or preaching today that makes Jesus sound like the first motivational speaker who came to tell us how to have a better life. And there's people that have said that. I've read it. How to exercise well. He came to teach you how to exercise. You know, like if you do a jumping jack, how do you Christianize that? Jesus came to teach me to do that? Should you exercise? Good. Jesus came to tell you how to eat right. It's good to eat right. But is that what Jesus came for? No, you're missing the entire message of Scripture. Jesus wasn't a motivational speaker sent to planet Earth to tell us how to live a better life. He is the King of Glory, the mighty Redeemer, who came to planet Earth on behalf of the Father to rescue us from the wrath of God, who came to pay the debt of sin, who came to deliver us from the power of darkness, to give us a new heart and a new life. He didn't come to form this social club on Earth, but the kingdom of God in our hearts. Jesus is the mighty Redeemer who came to rescue us from the power of darkness and to take us into the kingdom of God's Son. He's a Redeemer. He's a rescuer. It's not just about exercising right. We have Christian diets, Christian exercise, Christian this, Christian that. When was the last time that you or I were worried about or concerned about spiritual things? Oops, not supposed to ask that. Jesus says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. God's word is called a sharp two-edged sword. Did you ever get pricked by a sharp object? Ow, it hurts. I mean, you're aware that something that, oh, ow. Now, here's where the natural mind needs to be turned off with that illustration. Conviction in the kingdom of God is a wonderful thing. It's a good thing. It's proof that God's Spirit is moving, is working. Now, conviction may be in the form of a challenge. It may be God nudging or challenging you and I to get out of a comfort zone. It certainly may be the Spirit of God revealing an area of our life that is just unclean or ungodly. But this should be a normal thing coming to church. It should be a normal thing. Conviction is not a bad thing. If we are a born-again, Spirit-filled, regenerated body of believers, just by reading the Word of God, there's going to be a regular diet of conviction. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Conviction corrects. You're out of line here, Raymond. It's a good thing. I've had people tell me, oh, Pastor Ray, I'm going to a church now, and I never get bothered by anything I hear. What are they reading? The comics? I don't know about you guys, but you know, I could be sitting alone with my Lord, you know, early in the morning, and I'm reading, there is not, I can say this by the grace of God, there has not been a day that has gone by in 30 plus years where I'm not challenged or I'm not convicted or God is just doing that something inside of me. And I say, thank you, Lord, you love me. You see, God doesn't bother those that are not his children. You know, you go to a grocery store and there you are, you're going through a grocery store with your children. And then there's some other children that are not really behaving too well. And they irritate you. And so you can just say, well, those were my kids. So next time you go to a grocery store, that is one of your kids. And you're going down that. And I remember when Josh and Andrew were little, they knew. When dad says, we're going out to the car. Why? Because you're not behaving yourself. No, I have no right, no authority to discipline another person's children. But when my kids get out of line, we're going out to the car.
is there mean? You're going to get whooped.
That might not be politically correct, but that is biblically sound. Amen? Guys, you know, getting convicted, getting challenged, being encouraged are good things. Listen, if it's acted on, it's not enough to just say, wow, I got convicted. Wow, I got challenged. Wow, that's not enough. You and I can nod our heads and go, oh, yeah. But listen, guys, if that's all we do, when the Spirit of God reveals something to us in His Word, if He gives us a tug in the heart or whatever, if that's all we do is just nod our head, then I'll tell you what's going to happen. You're going to get to a place where you and I are going to become spiritually lukewarm, spiritually lazy, spiritually indifferent, because we think that if we just agree with conviction, that means I've repented or I've changed. No, it doesn't. Likewise, if you're here this morning and someone has been preaching to you the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's because they love you. It's because we're commanded to tell you the gospel of Jesus Christ, share the gospel of Jesus Christ. But you can hear and hear and hear and hear. And if you reject and resist and reject and resist, there is a place, there is a line where you can cross that line and you will no longer hear. And you will perish in your sins. Jesus says that the wise man is the man who hears my word and obeys my word. He is the man. That is the woman, that is the church that's building their house on a rock. But if all we do is just sit and hear and nod our heads and don't do, then we are on sand. So what does Jesus say to this church in verse 20? He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, means nobody's excluded, if any man hear my voice, that means literally means seriously consider his state. By listening to the voice of the Lord and open the door, I will come unto him and sup with him and he with me. Now you're Laodicea. Let's just say that they met in a building like this. The pastor just reads, I stand at the door knocking. You're looking outside. You go, I thought he was in here. No, Jesus says, I'm out there. You want to be independent of me? You want to be independent of my authority? Well, then you've lost the privilege of being called a church. But he's standing and he's knocking. That is incredible grace. And verse 20 is oftentimes used as a gospel invitation. And the secondary application of it would be okay, because God does command us to come to him. He does invite us to come to him. But this is, in context, Jesus standing outside of a church and saying, can I get in there? Can I occupy that place congregationally with you that belongs to me? Here's a church that is flowing with goods and riches, but the presence of Christ is not there. And he's knocking. And Jesus couldn't make it any clearer. He knocks and we open the door. This is significant because we just read last week, evangelistically, that Jesus is the one that opens a door that no man can close and closes a door that no man can open. But when the gospel is proclaimed, all the Spirit of God will do is knock. He will quicken you. He will awaken you to your sense of need, but you must respond. You must open the door. Jesus is standing at the door. He's knocking. He's knocking. He's knocking. He's knocking. And when he invites for fellowship, you see, we are so Americanized. If you really want to understand what this means, you've got to go to the Far East or to the Middle East, because when you go over there and you eat, plan on spending the night. Because to be invited to have sup with somebody was the expression of something deep and personal and intimate. Jesus says that when I stand on the door of your heart and knock, I mean to come in and have real, genuine fellowship with you. Not on a superficial level, but on a deep, intimate level. Jesus says, I will come into him and sup with him. Fellowship. Christ died on the cross that you and I as sinners may have fellowship with the living God. Real fellowship with the King of Kings. To him that overcomes, verse 21, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and have sat down with my Father in his throne. I read this morning and I chuckled. It was sacred. I said, Lord, that sounds pretty crowded. I mean, it's a whole bunch of people sitting on a throne. So this blows my mind. How's it going to happen? Raymond, when you get there, wait till you see what I have prepared for you. I'm not really concerned how this is all going to work. I just know it's going to work. I'm going to be seated with Christ. He's seated with the Father. And here's this church that seemed to be wholly overrun and overcome with lukewarmness. And yet Jesus gives them the remedy. He says, I'll chasten you. And when I do, be zealous and repent. Open your heart to me. That's a cure for lukewarmness. That's a cure for indifference. Listen to what the Lord is saying to you this morning. Open your heart to him. Turn, be zealous, be eager, be excited when God speaks to your heart. It's good when you get convicted. It's a wonderful thing. My prayer is that you and I as a body would constantly be praying that the Lord of the church would ignite a fresh fire within our hearts for him, for the things of his kingdom, that he would forgive us for any lukewarm affections towards him, lukewarm affections towards one another, lukewarm attitudes in sharing the gospel, lukewarm worship, lukewarm serving, lukewarm giving. Father, forgive me. Start with me. Just take it away. Give us a passion. Give us a fire for you, for the things of your kingdom. And then Jesus says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. And just as these churches existed in John's day, they exist today. From the busy church of Ephesus, where Christ is in the midst of them, to the church at Laodicea. Ephesus was busy, but they lost their first love. Laodicea was lukewarm and Christ is on the outside. And yet in every one of these congregations, there's a remnant of the faithful, a remnant of believers. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. Notice the importance of the Word of God to the church. 7 times Christ calls the church to hear what the Spirit is saying. And when the church individually or us collectively stop hearing the Spirit speaking through the Word of God, we will inevitably begin to become lukewarm and worldly and carnal, strained from the truth. One of the sobering messages of this letter for me is that, according to Jesus, it's possible for people to go to church, but who have never been regenerated by the Spirit of God. It's possible for people to go to church, but have never been born again. They have no relationship, no fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is a truth that is found in the Old Testament and New Testament that is so clear how easy it is for people to be religious and yet not have a relationship with God. In our Lord's day, there were the scribes, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. They were the theologians of the day. They were the church people. They were the keepers of orthodoxy. They were the ones who knew all about tradition. They were the ones who could quote the fathers, and yet they didn't know the living Lord. Now, the Bible has been given to us for doctrine, and we best be, by the grace of God, sound in our theology, sound in our doctrine. But I'm going to tell you something, guys, and I want you to hear this very, very clearly. Lord, help me. As vital and important as sound doctrine is, listen, doctrine in and of itself doesn't give us life. If doctrine could give you life, if the Word of God in and of itself could give you life, then here, you've got the Bible. Then all we would need was the Bible. We wouldn't even need Christ. If doctrine gives us life, we don't need Christ. But what is the purpose of the Scripture? Jesus said, in the volume of the book, it is written of me. Jesus said in John chapter 5, verse 39, search the Scriptures, for in them you think, in the letter of God's Word, you think you have eternal life. but it is the book, it's the scriptures that speak of me, and you will not come to me that you might have life. You see, the purpose of doctrine is to reveal to us and explain to us that God gives us life by grace through faith in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ. It's in Christ we have life. Amen? Christ came to give us life. Jesus told the congregation that He fed loaves and fishes. And He says, labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat that endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. The purpose of Scripture is to point us to Christ. There are so many people today, even church people today, they're eating off of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They're so obsessed with crossing their T's and dotting their I's, and yes, be theologically correct, but there is the tree of life. The tree of life is Christ. We're to be pointing people to Christ. In John chapter 17, Jesus says, "This is life eternal, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." The question this morning is, do you have Christ in your heart? It's not how much scripture you can quote. It's not how many songs you know. It's not what your CD collection is. Do you have Christ in your heart? He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. Jesus told the woman at the well, if you only knew the gift of God and He that is speaking to you, you would have asked of Him and He will give you living water. Life. Life, beloved. Life. Not just existence. Life. New life, real life, eternal life, life that comes from God and is given to you and me by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Jesus said in John chapter 8, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. What is the truth that makes you free? That Christ gives us life. Good morning. The purpose of this book is to reveal Christ. The purpose of this book is to point me to Christ. Then I might have life. Paul the Apostle, years after he was born again on the Damascus Road, writes, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord." Beloved, never equate knowing biblical truth with knowing Jesus Christ personally. He is a person who can be known, that you can commune with and have fellowship with. Never equate knowledge of Scripture with the knowledge of the Lord. Amen? That's what Jesus is telling this church. You need me. He's standing. He's knocking. Let me come in. Let me have control. Don't seek to live your life independent of me. Don't think that life is in goods and riches and in material things. Don't think that. Life is in Christ. True life is in Christ. Peter says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's Peter. Peter's last words, Paul's last words, John's last words, flee idolatry. Eternal life is knowing Christ. Knowing Christ and making Him known. How exciting is it to know Christ, to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Don't give me religion. Don't give me ritual. Don't give me tradition. I mean, there's a good place for all that. But if you don't have Christ, then all of that is meaningless. All of that is empty. It's Christ. It's Christ. It's Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. Don't show me a picture of my wife. Oh, she's beautiful. And she is. Oh, she looks very kind. And she is. Give me my wife. So many people, church people, are content with a portrait. Don't be content with a portrait. Lord, it's you. you who stand on the door. And if he's standing on the door of Koinonia and say, there's areas that are lukewarm, there are areas that are dry, Lord Jesus, then you come and you burn away anything that gets in the way of us being conformed to your image. Burn, Lord. Paul the Apostle said in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, for I know whom I have believed. I know. He just wasn't the instrument that wrote down those powerful epistles. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. What did Paul commit to Christ? The keeping of his soul for the debt of his sin. I know that it's him that I've believed. I know that it's him that I am trusting for the salvation of my soul. Have you ever done that? Have you ever had a time when you've really, from the bottom of your heart, looked to Christ and say, I commit the keeping of my soul. I look to you to erase the debt of my sin. I look to you to take the wrath that I deserve. I look to you, Lord, to come into my life and to establish your kingdom. Lord, come in. I pray that if that's you, that today you will not be content with just the doorbell ringing, but that you'll go to the door and answer and let him in. Perhaps there are some that are here this morning. Maybe you've been taught something like I was taught for 20-something years. Well, if you're just a good person, if you never kill anybody or murder anybody with a gun, if you never, if you are sexually faithful, forget about what you're thinking in your mind. If you never rob from anybody, you know, in your mind you could covet to no end. As long as you do those things and try hard or do your best, then you're going to go to heaven. That's not what the Bible teaches. In fact, Jesus said something. I think one of the most shocking statements that Jesus made in the Sermon on the Mount was when he looked at a multitude of people and said, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. The key to that verse is that the word exceed, it really means in the Greek deeper. Unless your righteousness is deeper than that of the scribes and the Pharisees, that was all external. Unless you have a righteousness that is in your heart, unless there is something in your heart that comes from me, you will in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. My friend, you and I can never make ourselves righteous in the sight of God. The only righteousness that God accepts is the righteousness that he provides through his son, Jesus Christ. And it's an imputed righteousness. And the only way that we receive it is by God's grace through faith in Christ alone. He stands, he knocks. And I pray that if that's you hearing that knock, you'll open the door and turn to him this morning. Father, thank you. Thank you for these letters. Thank you for the challenges. Thank you for the correction. Thank you that you love me enough that when you're wheeling me through the grocery store of life and I'm out of line, that you take me to the car and tell me, Raymond, that's not right. That's unfitting. That temper is not right. That attitude is not right. That motive is not right. Lord, thank you for loving us so much. Correct us according to your will. And for any that are here this morning that have never opened the door to the gospel, as we worship, Lord, may you open that door. Open their eyes to see that it's you that is knocking. It's you ringing the doorbell. It's you that is inviting them, Lord God, to turn from sin, to turn to you for righteousness. And we ask this this morning. In Jesus' name. He poured out his love, his forgiveness of
sin. Bless the Lord. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. At Koinonia Fellowship, we believe that a church that is moving forward moves forward in prayer. That is why we have time set aside every week for men's prayer, women's prayer, and corporate prayer. We especially want to invite men and women to join us tonight and every Tuesday night for a time of prayer and praise between 7 and 8 p.m. at Koinonia Fellowship, 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.